Good morning. My name is Tia, and I will be your conference operator today for the GP Strategies third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. All lines will be placed on mute, preventing any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during that time, simply press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press 1-3. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Anne Blank, Director of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to GP Strategies' third quarter 2016 earnings call. On the call this morning are Scott Greenberg, Chief Executive Officer, and Sharon Esposito-Mayer, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that today's comments will include forward-looking statements, which are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to be materially different from expectations. For a complete discussion of these risks, we encourage you to read our documents on file with the SEC, which are posted on the investors section of our website at gpstrategies.com. A replay of this call will also be available on our website later today. And at this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Scott.
Thank you, Anne. Good morning and happy Halloween last night, and welcome to our third quarter 2016 conference call. This morning, before the market opened, GP Strategies announces earnings for the third quarter of 2016. While third quarter 2016 revenue was down slightly, strong performance in our Sandy training and marketing and performance-ready solution segments offset the continued downturn in the professional and technical service segment and the dramatic decline from foreign currency fluctuations. Our learning solutions segment also achieved organic revenue growth during the third quarter, excluding the net impact of foreign currency. In addition, we recently completed the acquisition of Maverick Solutions, giving GP Strategies enhanced training capabilities in the ERP arena. Debbie Young, our Senior Vice President, will give you a little bit about Maverick Solutions later on in the presentation. We continue to pursue niche acquisitions and are currently evaluating additional opportunities and have at least one that is fairly far along, so we look forward to closing one in the near future. We are beginning to see some opportunities that demonstrate our global capabilities, including one from a multinational pharmaceutical company that was announced last quarter. We are currently negotiating a definitive agreement. We anticipate revenue commencing in the first quarter of 2017. Last quarter, I reported that GP Strategies was notified of a $35.9 million five-year award from a foreign petroleum company. We are seeing the potential of additional foreign opportunities for 2017. In the third quarter, the company achieved revenue of approximately $122 million, which was relatively flat compared to the third quarter of 2015, despite the reduction of approximately $5.2 million from the Professional Technical Service Group and a decrease of approximately $4.4 million due to the unfavorable changes in foreign currency. Excluding the Professional and Technical Service Group revenue, revenue grew by approximately 5% without adjusting for currency and 8% adjusting for constant currency. In 2015, the company announced an additional share buyback program of $15 million and repurchased approximately 340,000 shares or $8 million of stock in the open market during the 9 months ended September 30th, 2016, and had approximately $6 million remaining under the program at September 30th, 2016. There are approximately 3% less shares currently outstanding on a fully diluted basis compared to the third quarter of 2015. EBITDA for the quarter was approximately $9.5 million compared to $8.2 million for the third quarter of 2015. Some companies and analysts add back non-cash compensation expense to EBITDA on a pro forma basis. These expenses for the quarter were approximately $1.6 million. Backlog hit a record of approximately $302 million, While it includes our major contract from a petroleum company, which is over a five-year period, it is still approved excluding this award. In 2013 through 2015, we invested heavily in building our global reach, and we're anticipating seeing the returns of these investments in years to come. We added over 13 global offices to the company, and our revenue in the Asia-Pacific region is in excess of $20 million, which is a multiple of where it was just 5 years ago. We are currently doing business with approximately 25% of the global 500 customers worldwide. Our goal is to continue to establish GP Strategies brand in this highly fragmented industry. We routinely get asked on the market of domestic trading business, which is now estimated to be over $100 billion globally, and our largest competitor continues to be in-house companies' trading departments. We understand that we are playing in a highly fragmented industry and look forward to continued execution and continued acquisitions to extend our base. On previous calls, we discussed initiatives to expand into the financial insurance sector. We started our initiative performing in the sector approximately 5 years ago, and for the third quarter, our revenue from this sector was approximately 20% of total revenue. We are not only investing in these areas, but are now making a major push into the pharmaceutical sector, and it has very positive attributes for GP Strategy Services. With that being said, Sharon will now give a detailed financial presentation for the quarter.
Thanks, Scott. Good morning, everyone. We reported third quarter revenue of $122 million, which was down 1% from $122.9 million in the third quarter of 2015. During the quarter, we experienced growth in our Sandy and Performance Readiness Solutions segment. We experienced a $4.4 million revenue decline in the third quarter of 2016 due to foreign currency fluctuations, which largely impacted our Learning Solutions segment, and our Professional and Technical Services segment continued to experience a decline over 2015. Sandy's third quarter revenue of $26.6 million represented a $4.5 million or 20% increase over the third quarter of 2015. There was a $5.6 million increase in training services for an automotive client related to a vehicle launch and a $2.7 million net increase in dealership training services. These increases were offset by a $3.8 million decline in publications revenue due to a partial shipment of a publication during the third quarter of 2016 that was fully delivered in the third quarter of 2015. We're projecting a total of $6.6 million of publication revenue in the fourth quarter, which compares to $3.2 million in the third quarter of 2016 and $9.8 million in the comparative fourth quarter of 2015. The Performance Readiness Solutions revenue also increased by $300,000 or 2% over the third quarter of 2015. The net increase is primarily due to an $800,000 increase from a new technical training contract with an aerospace customer and a $300,000 increase in platform adoption training services. However, these increases were partially offset by a $500,000 decline in leadership development services and a $300,000 decline due to unfavorable exchange rates. The revenue increases in Sandy and Performance Readiness Solutions were offset by revenue decreases in our other segments. Revenue in the Learning Solutions segment decreased by $500,000 or 1% over the third quarter of 2015. There was a $3.2 million decrease in revenue due to unfavorable exchange rates in this segment, but this decrease was partially offset by a $1.4 million net increase in e-learning content development and business process outsourcing services, and a $1.3 million revenue increase related to the GenCal UK job skills acquisition completed on March 1st of this year. Professional and technical services revenue decreased $5.2 million or 17% compared to the third quarter of 2015. The decreases were due to a $2 million decline in revenue from oil and gas clients, a $1.5 million net decrease in engineering and technical services, a $400,000 decline in training and professional services for energy clients, a $400,000 decline in alternative fuels revenue, and a $900,000 decrease in revenue related to a decline in exchange rates. The automotive sector comprised 22% of our revenue year-to-date compared to 18% year-to-date September 2015, and the financial and insurance sector comprised 21% of our revenue in both year-to-date September 2016 and 2015. We continue to have a revenue concentration with a financial services customer, which accounted for 15% of our year-to-date revenue, and an automotive customer, which accounted for 13% of year-to-date 2016 revenue. Revenue earned from operations outside the United States represented 29% of year-to-date revenue in both 2015 and 2016. Gross profit decreased in the third quarter by $400,000 or 2%. Gross profit as a percentage of revenue also decreased slightly to 16.4% compared to 16.6% in the third quarter of 2015. The decrease in gross profit was largely due to a $1.9 million decline in gross profit in the professional and technical services segment due to the revenue decreases in this segment. This decrease was partially offset by a $1.1 million increase in gross profit in the Sandy segment and a $400,000 increase in the performance readiness solutions segment. Gross profit in the learning solutions segment was relatively flat and included $400,000 of gross margin related to the GenCal acquisition completed on March 1st, which was offset by a $600,000 decrease in gross profit due to a decline in exchange rates in this segment. SG&A decreased $300,000 or 2% to $12 million. SG&A costs included a $300,000 decrease in bad debt expense and a $200,000 decrease in amortization expense. These decreases were partially offset by a net $200,000 increase in labor and benefits expense. SG&A costs in the quarter included $300,000 of legal expenses related to acquisition activity. Operating income of $8 million in the third quarter of 2016 was a $1.1 million increase over the third quarter of 2015. This was primarily due to a $1.2 million non-recurring restructuring charge recorded in the third quarter of 2015 related to a cost savings initiative. Other expense was less than $100,000 in the quarter, which was a $600,000 improvement compared to the $600,000 loss recorded in the third quarter of 2015. The increase over the third quarter of 2015 was primarily due to a decrease in foreign currency losses in 2016. Third quarter 2016 income before taxes increased by $1.7 million or 29% to 6.2% of revenue from 4.8% of revenue in the third quarter of 2015. Tax expense was $2.8 million in the quarter or a rate of 36.9%. compared to $2.2 million or 37.2% in the third quarter of 2015. We are projecting a tax rate of 37.1% for 2016. Third quarter net income was $4.8 million or a 29% improvement over the third quarter of 2015, and earnings per share were 29 cents compared to 22 cents or a 7-cent improvement. Moving on to the balance sheet, our cash balances were $15.7 million at September 30th, compared to $21 million on hand at the end of 2015. During the year, we spent $8 million on share repurchases. We also spent $2.5 million to fund the job skills acquisition completed on March 1st, and $2.6 million in Q2 on earnout payments. We generated $11.9 million of cash flow from operations year-to-date compared to $9.5 million year-to-date September 2015. The $11.9 million is comprised of year-to-date income of $13.5 million plus non-cash add-backs to net income, including depreciation of $5 million and non-cash compensation expense of $4.5 million. These items were partially offset by a $1.1 million decrease in changes from other operating items. Fixed asset additions were $1.2 million compared to $1.8 million year-to-date 2015, and we generated free cash flow for the 9 months of $10.7 million compared to $7.7 million in 2015. At the end of September, backlog was $302 million compared to $251 million at June 2016 and $247 million at September 2015. $34 million of the backlog increase is for a contract with an international oil and gas customer that will be performed over the next 5 years. With the exception of this contract, approximately 95% of the backlog will be recognized as revenue within the next 12 months. At this time, I will turn the call back to Scott, who will discuss some operational highlights.
Thank you, Sharon. Doug usually gives us part of the presentation, but he's currently recovering from a surgery, so I will cover his message today. This is an important season for GP Strategies. We are currently in conference season for the training industry, and GP Strategies is being recognized for our leadership in a broad range of areas, market sectors, and geographies. These awards demonstrate our ability to execute enterprise learning for our global customers and innovation. We won the most ever for GP Strategies 13 Brandon Hall Awards for excellence in learning, including a gold for best learning team for our work at Merck, best advance in employee engagement at SunTrust, and best results for a learning program at MasterCard. We also won 3 awards from Chief Learning Officer and 2 awards from Training Industry, Inc., clearly demonstrating our role as a leader in the performance improvement and training space. Second, what I'd like to discuss is we've now assembled a team that's led by a long-term GP employee, Dan Miller, and he's going to promote corporate opportunities in the pharmaceutical, automotive, and financial space. So with the cost savings that we had in prior periods, we were able to assemble a new team to go work for GP and do that for us. Looking at awards, the first area I'd like to talk about is our automobile work through Sandy. As we discussed in prior periods, we won a lot of long-term contracts with our store customers, which really gave us bandwidth to expand from where we normally did work in. One thing we did this year is an Asian automobile manufacturer. We're now doing delivery in North America, and that's a new assignment for GP, so a new brand has been added to the mix. In addition, certain of the brands, in order to be like Lexus and in order to be like Infiniti, have spun off brands, including Hyundai, including Cadillac, as far as marketing and development, and we've been involved and hopefully will continue to be involved in development of work for them. And lastly, on the Sandy side, we have now entered an arena for GP that was something that we did probably 15 to 20 years ago, where we're now starting to get more involved in technical training and service training, and that we're now having meetings with some of our manufacturers regarding that. So expanding Sandy from just sales training into technical training and service training is one of our key initiatives. And then lastly, we just had an open house in China, and we're currently doing business for companies like Porsche and Mercedes-Benz in China, and that's expanding, and a lot of automobile manufacturers attended our open house in China, so hopefully that's a good sign for the future. On the learning solution side, one of the areas that we've gotten real strength in is on the human capital with our work with SuccessFactors. We've won a lot of multi-million dollar awards and high under million dollar awards during the quarter. So human capital and our work in training in this area appears to be a solid venue for GP Strategy service. And on the professional technical services, I talked about earlier that with the major petroleum win, we are seeing opportunities for 2017 and beyond that could be substantial. So we think we have an entree and a foothold into the foreign petroleum business. In addition, even though revenue's down in this group, they have had one particular area that that's demonstrated success, and that's our ADIS Pro software, which does power plant optimization and has a very strong year for this year. As I mentioned earlier, Debbie Young, who runs our PRG group, Performance Readiness Group, is with us today, and she'll give you a little bit insight on our Maverick acquisition, why we did it, why we think it's going to be successful, and it really gives us the criteria for acquisitions that we want to make in the future. So take it over, Debbie.
Thanks, Scott. We're pleased to have Maverick Solutions join GP Strategies effective October 1st. Since 1999, Maverick has specialized in providing project team and user adoption training to organizations implementing Oracle's ERP software. with a focus in the healthcare, higher education, and public sector industries. They work with organizations like MD Anderson, Harris County in Texas, and the University of California Office of the Provost on their multi-year software implementation initiative. Maverick's client base will provide GP Strategies entry into both the education and healthcare sectors. More recently, Maverick has been one of the first to introduce to market two subscription-based product offerings. The first is Engage, a cloud-based training offering that supports Oracle's cloud implementation. The second is a product called Enroll, also a subscription-based training offering for PeopleSoft Campus Solution. We're seeing early adoption of both of these products by several leading higher ed institutions. As we integrate Maverick into GP, we look to leverage the presence in the industries they are established in and introduce a greater GP offering to those customers, as well as extend our current footprint in our existing GP clients with Maverick's offering. In fact, this morning, we're introducing Maverick's capabilities into one of our leading global automotive customers, and we look forward to replicating this in many more of our accounts. Scott.
Thanks, Debbie. Before I turn it over to questions, I just wanted to thank everybody for joining us. But in addition, we have our Investor Day coming up. It's December 1st, 2016. Space is limited in Investor Day, so please sign up. I believe based upon New York Stock Exchange rules that everybody has to sign up at least 1 week before the Investor Day. And again, you know, I see people signing up every day, so it looks like we have good attendance. So please sign up and try to get it done before Thanksgiving, which is the cutoff day, but the sooner the better. We'll have all the group leaders there, financial people, and hopefully we'll have a good day really, you know, going below the hood. I guess GP in our automobile business, we always go below the hood, but you could get to go below the hood and work with the company. So, again, I'll turn it over to Q&A right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. And if your question has been answered and you'd like to withdraw, please press the 1 followed by the 3. One moment, please. Our first question is from the line of Jeff Martin. Please proceed.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Jeff.
Scott, could you expand on the learning solutions segment with the success factors you mentioned, several multi-million dollar awards and several six-figure deals? Just curious what kind of impact.
Well, they're not, I would say they're close to million-dollar awards and six-figure deals. I don't think they're the size yet to get multi-million dollar with the integration we do. But let me just turn it over to Don, who runs the Learning Solutions Group, and he could give a little more insight on that.
Sure. We're seeing strong growth. As you know, most companies now moving from on-premise solutions to the cloud. Success factors from a human capital management side, you know, in the last Gartner Magic Quadrant showed that, you know, Success Factors was the leading human capital management software. So there's been a significant amount of customers coming to make those switches, and Success Factors, I think, has a fairly extensive partner network, and we're one of their premier partners. So we've been getting a significant amount of opportunities in each one of those spaces, and they continue to come. And they've been primarily been in Europe as they continue to, that country continues to move quickly to a cloud-based solution.
Okay, great. And then, Scott, if you could prioritize your top three initiatives today, would they be, you know, growth within Sandy, improving the performance readiness, and professional and technical? Maybe you could just help us walk through.
Well,
what I'm ultimately going to get at is, you know, you probably have one more quarter flattish type revenue performance, but then in 17 you should start to see some return to your mid to upper single digit organic growth. That's ultimately what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at it, Jeff, and that's a great question, and I think, you know, when we divide up our initiatives, first it's by sector, and then it's by deliverables. So I would say by sector, if we have four sectors that can really start organic, the organic growth engine going again, the first sector is automotive, which did show great organic growth this year and hopefully will continue. The second is financial services as far as sector. And the third now is pharmaceutical with the win that we hope to ramp up in the first quarter of last year and into the second quarter. And as I mentioned on the last call, that would be a global initiative that could be a, you know, a substantial revenue generating account for GP. And then the lastly is, while professional and technical service group overall has shown a downward trend, we are seeing some opportunities in the international oil and gas space, including the win that we had this year. So I think those are the four spaces or the four industries that we anticipate getting some of our future growth. That doesn't mean we're not working hard in other industries we work in, but those are the leading industries for GP. When you look at the types of services that we do in these industries, I would say those services will continue with things like BPO solutions, where we do administrative outsourcing, content development. But now we have the ability with certain of our acquisitions and certain of our products to get incremental higher margins, and that's where things like Maverick comes in. That's where our work with SuccessFactors comes in. That's where our work with leadership training comes in. So it's combining the industries that I mentioned with the type of products that we do, both new and old. But lastly, the number one driver of all of it that we hope to get the benefit of is now being able to deliver globally to our customer base. So we think we have the industry expertise, particularly in those industries. We think we're filling out our product lines with the acquisitions that we're doing. And now with our development of our global initiative, we have offices all over the world to service our companies, which is really a key differentiator in the fragmented training space.
Okay. And then just curious from a high level, could you characterize the environment from bringing on new clients to that global platform? Because I think that's what everybody's looking for, is you to leverage that investment. Maybe you can give us
the
current pipeline
that,
feel, and then yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the question we've been asking for 2 years. When we first won the large financial services, we were expecting to be able to generate additional global revenue faster. And it took us longer to develop it, and also, as we discussed last year, bringing in senior people to run these offices. We've done that in 2016, and I think the pharmaceutical win is really the first concrete evidence of this type of platform working more substantially. Now, that doesn't mean that it hasn't been involved in winning different jobs, because in order to maintain and grow with our currency, we have to win additional work. But this could be some substantial work. So I think this is really the first major indication that we have on a very large job, at least, not the smaller jobs we want, but a large job that demonstrates the platform and potentially being able to expand revenue on a faster basis, which, again, that we all anticipated to occur in 2015, but it was delayed, unfortunately. But now I think we have the format in place where we can accomplish that.
Okay, great. And then last question is, your two largest customers, one in Sandy, or the automotive, and one in financial services, what's your expectation for 2017 in terms of growth or stability from those two clients?
Well, right now, looking at our larger automotive company, we've experienced very good growth with them the last 3 years. We're also looking to get into other areas with them, including service training and technical training as well. So I believe that there's still other areas that we could expand with them. So we're looking very positive to growing our relationship with them. On the financial service customer, right now we've maintained our revenue, but we have gotten hit on currency in that area. So we are looking at additional opportunities with them, additional projects with them. So again, there's nothing to believe that there will be a downturn in that customer as well.
Okay, great. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Kevin Liu with B. Riley & Company. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning. In terms of the Sandy business, obviously some very nice growth. You've seen accelerating growth in each of the past couple quarters. How big is this opportunity for you guys on the technical and services training side, and what sort of impact does that have on the gross margin profile for the segment?
Well, I don't think it'll impact the gross margin profile of the segment. I think that this type of initiative isn't something that's going to be built in one quarter. So I think this is, when we have different opportunities and different initiatives, this one is really at its infancy stage as opposed to some of the others. I believe we had our first meeting, Don, was it today or yesterday, regarding some of this type of work with the customer. We've had an additional meeting with them. So I think we have our foot in the door right now, and I think it's potential, but this isn't something that's all of a sudden going to pop in the next quarter, but it'll be something that hopefully we could grow nicely and give Sandy additional growth in years to come.
Got it. And maybe just to follow on to that, you guys had a nice vehicle launch training win within the quarter. Is that expected to persist for a couple more quarters here, or how should we treat that? And then what do you kind of consider a sustainable services growth rate for the Sandy business?
Yeah, Kevin, the quarter had about $5 million of revenue relating to the launch services that we provided. That will not continue. That launch work is predominantly done. So sequentially, that will be a quarter-over-quarter revenue decline as we go from Q3 to Q4. However, they will have about a $3.4 million uptick in publication revenue, and they have some other opportunities that will provide some increased revenues to offset the publication revenue. But just looking forward, Sandy's Q4 revenue should probably be close to what it was in Q3 just because the launch work is predominantly concluded.
But the one thing when you look at Sandy and we go into 2017, they already have a higher percentage of their revenue that they know or that they could see than they ever had before. So going into 2017, they already probably have over 80%, maybe even 90% of this year's revenue that they could see. So again, while 20% growth or those type of growth rates I don't think is sustainable, we believe that them achieving our overall growth rate of 8% that we've always given as our long-term growth rate or more should be achievable within this business unit.
Got it. And in professional and technical services, can you talk about how much contribution you saw in Q3 from the large award? And then outside of that award, how are you feeling about the rest of the business today? Do you feel it's relatively stable, and are there opportunities to grow that going into 17?
Yeah, I mean, right now, when we said it was fully ramped up, we expected $2 to $2.5 million per quarter. That's taken longer than we expected. So the revenue in Q3 was actually below $1 million for the quarter. So we would anticipate, not in the fourth quarter, but we would anticipate it starting to ramp up next year to get to that level. That being said, the professional and technical service revenue, we did expect it to sequentially go up from Q2 to Q3, and that did not happen. However, that being said, again, it's still early in the quarter, but we do expect it to go sequentially up from Q3 to Q4.
Great. And just one last one on the acquisition of Maverick. It looked like they were about $8 million in revenues last year. What sort of growth did you expect for that business as a whole in 2016? And then should we expect that growth rate to kind of be sustained moving forward?
Well, the one thing that I look at, Kevin, and that's a great question. When I look at the Blessing White acquisition we did in leadership training the first few years, when they were able to leverage GP Strategies customers, they had a very substantial growth rate in their first few years leveraging GP Strategies customers. So, you know, I personally, again, would expect a higher than average growth rate from Maverick Solutions. The first few years I'd expect, I might get some cringes here, but I would expect about a 20% growth rate, at least the first year or two.
All right. Sounds good. Congrats on a very nice quarter.
Thank you, Kevin.
Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4. Our next question is from the line of Alex Paris with Barrington Research. Please proceed.
Hi, Alex.
You may be on mute.
Hi, sorry, I was on mute.
Okay, did we answer the question right?
So just a couple of follow-ups on questions that were already asked, I guess. And I guess this is for Don. Don, I'd like, if you wouldn't mind, to dive a little deeper into the Success Factors business. How exactly does that work? Success Factors is client facing, and GP is providing content, I assume. And then how does the customer select content? Is it all or nothing, and GP just goes along with that, or they have to select the GP content from within the catalog? And then how are you paid on it?
Okay, so it is not content. The Success Factors human capital management system is the actual software that a company would use to do all of the HR functionality, which would include benefits, compensation, performance. So the Success Factors, so there's Success Factors suite, which is being installed. So Success Factors would sell the licenses. My team would do the installation of the product in the company. The strategic advantage of that is that in all cases you're working with HR, and in 90% of the Fortune 500 companies, HR is teamed up with learning, so learning typically reports into the HR function. So that gives us in companies a direct connection, if we haven't been involved with them before, into their learning organization to help with the installation of the human capital management suite, which does include the learning management system. So that gives us an entry into a client to then start selling the BPO services around administration, content development that you were talking about.
I got you. So sort of like a systems integrator in that regard?
Correct. Exactly correct. A systems integrator would be the exact definition. Yep.
And then your comment that it's primarily in Europe, there must be other systems integrators, and you're doing a particular geography. Is that how it works?
I think there are many. SAP SuccessFactors has a lot of system integrators, but we've been very good at installing them to the high satisfaction of the customer, and we won multiple awards from SAP for our installation. So they're looking at picking the system integrators that are ultimately going to cause, you know, the best customer satisfaction and make sure that the licenses continue to get renewed. Because, you know, in the cloud-based, there's an annual renewal of that license, and so there's an application of making sure the customer continues to be happy. So I think we've been winning, you know, a good amount of the Success Factors QFs that have been coming up in Europe.
And that's one of our strategies, Alex, in that if we have the 125 Global 500 companies are customers of GP. As we add the products, whether it's Maverick solutions or our SuccessFactors work, which was done through our effective people acquisition in Denmark, or our leadership training acquisition, which occurred a few years ago through Blessing White. So we're getting all these service lines that tend to be higher margin products, and we're using our core base business of administration outsourcing services and content development and learning services to get our foot into the door to sell these other product lines.
Gotcha. Thank you. And then just to be clear, shifting gears, you said within PTS, the Kuwaiti contract was less than $1 million in revenue in the third quarter.
That's correct.
You're referring to the Kuwaiti contract. So when you say it's going to ramp up in Q1 17, you just mean kind of getting to the point at which that quarterly run rate that you expected.
Yeah, it might not be in Q1, but you'd expect it by Q2 to finally get to the quarterly run rate that we would expect.
Okay, and then I guess lastly, you've done two acquisitions year to date, GenCal and Maverick, and you say you got another one on tap. Should we expect, you know, similar size, similar cost, or are these bigger acquisitions?
Historically, you know, the GenCal acquisition was small. We tend to say our bandwidth for revenue is $10 to $20 million of revenue. However, this year they were slightly smaller than that. But we typically do say, however, that, you know, we're very selective in our acquisitions, and we go through a lot of due diligence, and hopefully I get this term right, and we kick the tires quite often on these acquisitions. And in effect, I would say that we try to limit it to 3 to 4 good ones per year, but hopefully going into next year, the size-wise, will be slightly larger than the three that we have, the two we've completed and the one we're currently looking at.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that additional color. Looking forward to the Analyst Day in December.
All right. Thank you, Alex. It's a pleasure.
The next question is from the line of Gary Bragger with Nelson Hall. Please proceed.
Yes, hi everyone. I appreciate the update. Just a couple of quick questions. I think the first two might be for Sharon, and I apologize because I think it's on some of the information you were giving and I was trying to write down and I believe I missed. But the first, what I caught in terms of what your largest sectors were, I caught where you said financial and insurance is 21% of your revenue, and I missed the first that you said before that.
Automotive is right now our largest sector, along with financial services. So automotive is probably in the neighborhood of 20%.
Yeah, automotive comprised 22% of our revenue year-to-date this year in comparison to 18% last year, and financial and insurance was actually 21% both for the year-to-date 2016 and 2015 period.
Okay, great, thank you. And then the second question was, I missed the percentage of your business that's from global outside of the United States and what you anticipate for 2017, and congratulations, by the way, on the MNC pharma client coming on board in 2017. But what was the percent outside of the U.S. for 2000?
It was 29%, and that was also consistent with 2015.
I'm sorry, what was the percent?
29%.
29. Okay, wow, you've really, really grown. And then the final question, regarding the one MNC client coming on board, what services are going to be provided to that client?
Are we talking about the pharmaceutical customer? It'll be content development and administration outsourcing, learning outsourcing.
Great. Thanks very much. I appreciate it. Congratulations on that.
All right. Thank you for participating.
We have no further questions. I'll turn the call back to you.
Thanks. Thanks, moderator. Thanks for participating on the call. Again, we heard a few of the comments during the call, but Investor Day, December 1st, 2016, at the New York Stock Exchange. So hope to see you there. But if you have any questions in the interim, please feel free in contacting us. And thanks for being on the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.